All right. So I'm going to keep my eye on this time, and I'm going to try not to go too past 30 minutes. Originally, when I was thinking about doing this, I was just going to give you guys some really cool facts about the Christmas story. Because there's a lot of really cool facts that we just blow over when we read about Christmas. But as I was doing that, I just thought I couldn't pass up on doing this because God said, no, you got to talk about this. So I'm going to read Luke 2 for those of you that want to follow. I didn't put it up on the screen because it's too many verses. So I'm just going to read, and it's going to start with Luke 2, verse 1. And it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things, which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." So that's basically the story as Luke tells it in the Gospel of Luke in verse 2 and chapter 2. And we just want to highlight a couple of these things, but I didn't want to pass up reading the whole story since it's Christmas. So when the shepherds were talking to the angels, suddenly what came upon them was a heavenly host. And they were singing, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. You know, when I was growing up, I often thought that meant that there was going to be peace on earth. And isn't that what most people think when they hear that? They think, oh, that means peace on earth. Well, that's not what that's talking about. Is anybody looking around and seeing peace on earth? I mean, I'm seeing wars and fighting and all types of crazy things going on. So what the angels were actually talking about was that there was going to be peace between God and man now. Okay, so they were singing and glorifying God because now there was going to be peace between God and man. And it was beginning with this child Jesus. Jesus was now born and he was on the earth. He was on the scene. So it wasn't going to be long before there was peace between God and man. And as I was putting this together, the Holy Spirit just kept me on this peace thing, and he just told me that our culture and our society and the church in general, by and large, doesn't understand this concept of peace and what it actually means. And it's something that's lost on us because we just blow it off. And when we think about peace in English, we think about, you know, not fighting. We think about maybe some tranquility. We think, you know, I'm getting along with, you know, my boyfriend, or I'm getting along with my wife or my family members. But in the Hebrew language, this word for peace is shalom. And it means a lot more than just peace, okay? It means health. It means prosperity. It means emotional well-being. It means spiritual well-being. It It means joy. It means favor. It means safety and security. Okay? It encompasses a million different things that our culture just gets rid of. And you know, the funny thing about the Jewish culture, you know, and a lot of times Christians, you know, they make fun amongst themselves that the Jews missed Christ. But the funny thing is, one of the reasons why the Jews don't believe Jesus was Christ is because the Bible talks about all those things coming to pass on those that believe in Jesus. And when they see the people that proclaim to be Christians, they don't see prosperity and health and emotional well-being and safety and security. You see, the Jews, they know when Jesus comes on the scene, that's what's going to be their experience. And they believe that, you see? And so if the body of Christ was operating in this word peace that's between us and God better, you know, more Jewish people would get saved because they'd be envious and jealous. And they'd say, what do they have that I don't have? Well, they don't see shalom at work in our lives, okay? And if they did, a lot more of them would be compelled to get saved. So we kind of want to talk about this word peace and shalom and what it means between God and us. Remember, guys, this is talking about peace between God and us. So if there had to be peace between God and us, that means that there used to be enmity. That means there used to be separation between us and God. And a lot of things that we miss is that every evil thing in this world, every sickness, every disease, every distress, every worry, every fear, all stems from not having peace with God. Okay? That's what all that stemmed from. But now we have peace with God. So we should be experiencing all those things. So I just want to give everybody a different idea of what peace actually means tonight. And to seek peace on a different level. You know, most of us seek peace in the world, and we think, if my circumstances were different, I'd have more peace. If my husband was different, I'd have more peace. If my girlfriend was different, I'd have more peace. If my kids were different, I'd have more peace. But that's what the world teaches us, you see. And you know what God says? God says, if you'd understand that there was peace between you and me, then there'd be no of those other things that played a role. And so God really told me, he said, you know, if the people would just seek the peace they have with me, they'd see peace everywhere else. The peace everywhere else would just come to be. And there's a scripture in the Bible that says, seek ye first of all the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And you know, the Holy Spirit really told me the kingdom of God, within that word, peace is encompassed in that word. So seek ye first the peace that you have with God, and then all the other things in your life will become peaceful, okay? It isn't your relationships or your kids that are getting you out of peace. It's that you don't understand how much peace you have with God. That's what's getting you out, okay? So praise God, I just encourage everybody to seek the peace that you have with God. And that doesn't mean do things to get peace with God. That means remember that you already have peace with God. Remind yourself, God's not mad at me. Okay, God's not mad at us. He's not mad at anybody here. He's not mad at anybody out there. Okay, there is peace between us and God. So this is what the angels and the heavenly host were singing to the shepherds. And if you look in verse 20, it says, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Well, why were they glorifying and praising God? Because they were Jewish, and they understood what shalom meant. And so when the heavenly host was singing that there was going to be peace between man and God now, they knew what that meant. They knew that that meant that health would take over everything. Prosperity would take over everything. Emotional well-being would take over everything. That everything would be well. That everything would be good. You know, in the Bible, oftentimes when Jesus healed somebody, he would say, go in peace. And Jesus spoke Hebrew. So Jesus would have said, go in shalom. Okay? Notice what he told them to go in after he healed them. He signified that being healthy and whole meant that you were in peace, that you had shalom with God. Jesus himself came and preached peace between God and man. Why do you think so many people got healed in Jesus' ministry? because he told the Jews that there was peace between them and God now. You see, the Jews thought that there was enmity between them and God, and that was the cause of all their troubles. Guys, I really encourage everybody to ask yourself, is the cause of a lot of my troubles and stresses and pains and worries and cares, is the cause of that because I don't understand that I have peace with God already? Peace is already ours. We're not trying to get peace. We're not trying to make God peaceful with us. We already have the peace. That's what they're talking about here. Jesus signifies peace. He signifies the peace that we're going to have. So that's what we're going to continue on in this line. And Jeremiah 33, 6, 7, 8, and 9, and it says, "Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them. And they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto them." So the first thing we want to look at here is this is a prophecy about Jesus. And it's a prophecy about what's going to happen once the Messiah comes. Okay, and it's Jeremiah prophesying to the Israelites about what's going to happen when Jesus is going to come. And notice what he says. He will bring them health and healing. And I will heal them. That word cure means health and means healing and heal. I will bring them healing and health and heal them and will reveal. He will give them a revelation of the abundance of peace and stability that come in Jesus. Okay, this word for truth, it means stability in Hebrew. All right? So Jeremiah is prophesying that they'll be healed and healthy when they get the revelation of the abundance of shalom that's going to be poured out onto them because of Jesus. The abundance of peace. All right? And he's telling them that that brings stability. Does anybody feel like they lack stability in their life sometimes? Does anybody feel like they're on shaky ground? Guys, that's a great indication that you don't have a revelation of the peace between yourself and God. And one of the things that really changed my life, man, it's changing my life today, just meditating on it, that I have peace with God. And what that means is so awesome and glorious that you can barely put it into words. And most of us don't understand this peace. And every little thing that happens in our life, we allow it to convince us that we're out of peace with God, that now we're over here and God's angry with us. And then maybe next week I'll be over here and I'll have peace with God. But then over here, God's angry with me. You see, the thing is, we're all standing in peace permanently. All right, but what the devil's done is he's watered down this concept of peace. And he's watered down the meaning of shalom in our society. And he's trivialized peace. And he's got all of us thinking about peace in a different way. I mean, when I was a young kid, I was into, you know, a lot of hippie music and stuff and classic rock. And so I was all into the peace. Peace, man, peace. You know, and that phase didn't last long, so you guys, you can laugh at me for a little while, but I think all of us had some awkward phases as young kids. But the Holy Spirit really told me this week that that was the devil belittling the peace of God and getting mankind to think and seek out its own peace. You see, man seeks peace on the earth every day, and it's seeking peace in the form of peace between people and peace amongst countries and peace amongst different religions and all these different things. Do you know, Jesus himself said that he didn't come to make peace on the earth, but that he came to bring a sword, okay? And guys, I'm not suggesting that we should be out there starting fights with people, but the peace we should be seeking is with God. We should be seeking the peace that we have with God, not what the world calls peace. That peace is very fragile, it's very empty, and it's very fleeting. It leaves week to week, day to day, month to month. 1 month, maybe I feel great. The next month, maybe the world's coming to an end. That kind of peace doesn't stay. If there's a turmoil across the country, maybe I'm all fearful now. That's not real peace, guys. It has no staying power. You see, God is trying to put us in His peace, okay? In His shalom. Because when you're in that and you realize you have peace with God, you're always healthy. You have prosperity. You have emotional well-being. Nothing can faze you. You're walking around like Superman. And kryptonite no longer exists. There isn't even any kryptonite anymore. That's how God wants His people walking around. You know, and the Jews could learn something from us about accepting Jesus, but we could really learn something from them about what the result of accepting the Messiah is. Because that's the part we don't get. See, we don't get all the benefits of knowing who the Messiah is. You see, the Jewish people, they get it. You know, when Jesus comes back the second time and they accept Jesus, they ain't going to be walking around sick anymore. And they wouldn't stand for it if they were. Because they understand that Jesus coming back does away with all that. Why does it do away with all of that? Because there's peace between God and mankind. All right? And we just blow that off. We're like, yeah, peace, peace, peace. That's great. Peace is great. Peace with God. Peace with man. Great, great, great. And we just blow it off. And we don't consider the negative benefits it has when we blow it off. But guys, it's medicine to our souls. It's medicine to our flesh. It's medicine to our bones. It's medicine to our minds. It makes us of a sound mind when we seek to understand that we have peace with God because of the cross. So in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 7, it says, "And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first." That don't sound good, right? Captivity doesn't sound good. Just so you guys know, these Hebrew words for captivity means captives. So he's saying, once the Messiah comes back, they will be healthy, and I will heal them, because they're going to have a revelation of the abundance of peace and stability they have in the Messiah. Okay? "And I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first." So Israel and Judah, they're all spread out everywhere. Okay, so what he's saying is when the Messiah comes back, he's going to bring all the captives back, and he's going to rebuild the nations the way they were supposed to be in the beginning. So look at verse 8. This is part of the peace. "And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity, whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities, whereby they have sinned, and whereby they have transgressed against me." Guys, part of the reason why we have peace is because Jesus died on the cross and removed the sin. The sin was the enmity between us and God. But right here in the prophecy about the Messiah, it says that he's going to cleanse us from all our iniquity that we've sinned against him. And he's going to pardon all of our iniquities whereby we've sinned, and whereby we've transgressed against God. So I'm not going to spend all day talking about this because it's another sermon. But guys, the biggest thing that keeps us thinking that we don't have peace with God is every time we sin or fail, we meditate about our sins and our failures. Okay? Well, that keeps us from believing that there's peace between us and God, right? Because surely if we're thinking about our sin, we can't have peace with God. Isn't that what happens? When I sin, now God's angry with me. I got to get back into His good graces. When I haven't sinned, now I have peace with God. Okay? But we always have peace with God because of this. He's cleansed us from all our sins. You know, and God has many names, and one of His names is Jehovah Shalom, okay? Which means the Lord our peace. The Lord our peace. Who is our peace? The Lord. The Lord is our peace. It isn't our circumstances or the things we're going through or whether or not we've sinned or not sinned. The Lord is our peace, guys. And so the very times that we're out of peace or we think we don't have peace with God is when we think we failed or we think that we've sinned. When you're seeking the peace of God, you want to remind yourself that you have peace with God because Jesus died on the cross. Okay? The second you think that your sins or your failures are getting in the way, tell yourself, I have peace with God because of what Jesus did. Those things can't steal my peace. You see what the sin does? The devil wants to use the sin to keep us sick, to keep us poor, to keep us emotionally distraught. to keep us feeling separated from God. The devil doesn't want us to know that we have peace with our Heavenly Father. So verse 9, this is the result, okay? I'm going to go back and read this. Behold, I will bring it health and healing, and I will heal them and will give them a revelation of the abundance of peace and stability. And then he starts talking about what will happen. Because of that, he'll bring the captives back. He'll cleanse them from all their sins, okay? Then they will be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto them. Okay, so through a revelation of the peace we have with God, look what happens. We become a joy and a praise and honor before all the nations of the earth. Does that seem like what the church is and the body of Christ is before all the nations of the earth today? No. Seems like they're sick. Seems like they're poor. Seems like they're angry. All that stems from not understanding peace between God and man. Okay? So, just like we were talking about with the Israelites, you know, more of them would get saved if the body of Christ would stand up and get a revelation that they have peace with God. That I have peace with God. That God's not mad at me, and my Heavenly Father is well pleased with me every moment of every second of every day. Period. That's what we need to be telling ourselves. Every day. Okay? Notice what he says. That all the other nations will fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the shalom that I do unto it. That word prosperity, that translates shalom. There's the word shalom being translated prosperity. Shalom, peace, equals prosperity. If you believe you have peace with God, then you should expect to be prosperous. That's a fact. The Jews expect to be prosperous because of the Messiah. You know, we could take a page out of their book to understand what is ours in Christ, what our inheritance is in Christ. They'll fear and they'll tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that God does to it. What does all that stem from? It stems from having a revelation that I have peace with God because of the Messiah. What did Jeremiah start all this with? Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them. He's talking about when Jesus comes. He's talking about healing them. And what's the end result? That they become a name of joy and praise and honor. That's what happens to the body of Christ when they realize that they have peace with God. That's the peace we want to seek, guys. And you don't seek peace through yourself. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, our peace. The Lord is my peace. That's what we want to think about. The Lord is my peace. Psalm 38:3 says, and this is David. And notice what he says. And David committed a horrible sin. Just so you guys, if you guys don't remember, David committed a horrible sin. He stole somebody's wife, and then he sent them off to die in battle so that he could keep their wife. Okay? And before all that, he was, you know, basically being a peeping Tom. You know, in our society, he would have got thrown in jail for being a peeping Tom, because he was spying on a woman in her own home, you know, bathing. That's what David did. And notice what David says about this. There is no soundness in my flesh because of your anger, nor is there any health in my bones because of my sin. Okay, he's talking about health. In this verse, and this is the New King James Version, for those of you that don't know, this verse right here. The health, that word health, that's shalom. Translated health. So the same word that was translated prosperity is now translated health. And it's shalom, which is the peace of God. Okay? So David is saying that there's no health in his flesh or in his mind because of the anger of God. That being separated from God causes sickness. It causes emotional distress. It causes problems in our hearts. That's what David's talking about. Listen to what he says. Nor is there any health in my bones because of my sin. Why was the shepherds singing praises and glorifying God after they heard about Jesus? Because they knew that the anger was going to be removed and replaced with peace, and that the sin was going to be done away with as Jeremiah was just talking about in chapter 33, the iniquity is gone now, and God is no longer angry with us. Isn't the sin and the anger what David is describing, causing him sickness and emotional distress? Guys, we miss this. We allow the effects of the sin to remain in our lives, even though the gospel says over and over and over, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Did he take them away or not? It's a real simple question everybody should ask themselves. And if you pose that question to most Christians, they would agree. Yeah, Jesus has taken away the sins of the world. Then why are we letting all the negative effects of the sin remain in our life? Why do we still accept it? Because we don't understand that we have peace with God, that there's peace between man and God. All right? David knew that if there was peace and not anger, he wouldn't be sick. He knew if his sin had been done away with, he wouldn't have emotional distress. David knew those things. You know, David prayed all the time for Jesus. David was an Old Testament man with the New Testament mentality. You see, he saw what was going to come through Christ. And in fact, David said, "Blessed is he whose transgressions will not be imputed to them." So David foresaw a period when people's sins and transgressions would not be placed on their account. That's right now. That's right now. Our sins and transgressions are not placed on our account so that we can have peace with God, so that we can be healthy, so that we can be prosperous, so that we can have emotional stability, so that we can be peaceful every day in spite of what happens. Guys, and things come against me too. And you know, when I try to get out of peace, when the devil tries to get me out of peace, you know, I think about Jesus in the garden, and I think about him being pressed and stressed and shedding blood in the garden so that I could have peace. And I use that to remind myself that I have peace and that my peace is God. My peace is Jesus. Okay? You can stop and remind yourself. When you start getting out of peace, you can stop and say, "Wait a second, I have peace with God. I'm right with God." That's what I encourage everybody to do. You know, when you leave tonight and you go on in your life, meditate on the fact that you have peace with God and that Jesus has already come, right? Is there anybody that doesn't think Jesus has come? Is there anybody that thinks Jesus hasn't hung on the cross? Is there anybody that thinks Jesus hasn't risen from the dead? Then we should be having everlasting peace. We're supposed to be in a kingdom of everlasting shalom. It can't be ceased. You see, with the devil, he's got us not understanding what that means. And because of our ignorance, we don't experience it. So Ephesians 2:13 through 14 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Ephesians 2, verse 17. "And came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were near." Jesus was preaching peace, guys. He was telling everybody, there's peace now between God. You can come near. You can be healed. You can be prosperous because there's peace now. There's peace between you and God. You don't have to run anymore. You don't have to feel broken down. You don't have to feel unworthy. You don't have to feel like you're just a pathetic sinner. There's peace now. Come, come near. What did Jesus stand up in the middle and say, "All ye that are thirsty, come unto me"? You know, he stood up and said that in the middle of one of their most favorite feasts to celebrate the coming of the Messiah. And they were in the middle of doing the ceremony that was praying for the Messiah to come, whereby they ran around the altar saying, "Salvation, salvation has come." And right in the middle of them saying that, Jesus stood up and said, "All you that are thirsty, here I am. I'm salvation." And you know what they wanted to do to him when he did that? They wanted to stone him. See, Jesus was signifying there's peace now. He came preaching peace. We're reconciled to God. God's my boy. Me and God are like this. You know, it used to freak people out when I was growing up, and I'd tell them that, because it didn't look so good for me when I was young. You know, and in high school, I was voted most likely not to live past the age of 21. And it was serious. And it wasn't a joke. Most people believe that. Most people wondered, is this kid going to live past high school? And that's serious. And for them to see me now, it's real funny, because I'm full of life and peace. And they're still trying to figure it out. And they want to know, how did the kid that was supposed to be dead by 21, how did he get made whole? And it's because I got a revelation of what Jesus did on the cross and the fact that we have peace between God and us. God and me, man, we got peace. I can talk to him like he's my friend. I can hang out with him. I ain't got to worry that he's upset with me. Ephesians 6:15, and we'll finish up with this verse. And it says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Okay, in this chapter, Paul was telling everybody how to withstand the wiles of the devil, okay? And he's speaking to a bunch of Gentiles who live in Rome. And what's interesting about the Roman army, for those of you that don't know, they had a lot of success back in those days because of the shoes they wore. And it sounds silly, but back then, those people didn't have real good shoes. And the Roman army, they put like spikes, which would be our current day cleats, onto their feet so they could keep their ground while they were fighting. They wouldn't slip. They wouldn't get hurt while they were walking to the war, okay? They were still in good peace, all right? So Paul's referencing this shodding our feet to give them an idea of what that means. In martial arts, guys, the key is balance, okay? And your balance comes from your feet. So a much smaller person could beat up a much larger person just from keeping their feet balanced, okay? So Paul's explaining how to withstand the wiles of the devil, and he says, to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. And what he's saying is, make yourself ready. Make yourself able to withstand the wiles of the devil by understanding the gospel of peace. What he's saying is, when you understand that you have peace with God, you're able to withstand the wiles of the devil. He's saying, when you understand that you have peace with God, that the strength and the might and the power of God will operate in your life. It will manifest in your life. Because that's the inheritance of a person that has peace with God. That's what he's talking about. And shod your feet, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Guys, make yourself ready for life by understanding that you have peace with God. Make yourself ready for everything you're going to encounter by understanding that when Jesus came to the earth and he was born, okay, that it was signifying peace between man and God, and the way God was going to reconcile us was coming back, and it was coming back, and it was going to come back big time, okay? Make your feet shod with the fact that you have peace with God. Meditate on the fact that you have peace with God. You and God are close. You and God can stand nose to nose. You can touch him. You can squeeze him. You know, sometimes I get silly and I think in my head and I think, I grabbed him and I squeezed him, you know, and I just squeezed him. And I know it sounds funny, but man, it gives you a buzz. And it gives you an idea how close you are to God and how much peace that you have with God. And what that manifests in your life is the strength and the power of God. So when Paul told them how to withstand the wiles of the devil, he said, you need to understand you got peace with God. Prepare your feet with an understanding that you have peace with God. Remind yourself every day, I have peace with God. I have forgiveness of sins. I have present active participle. I have. It means it's already mine. I can't lose it. I can't leave it somewhere else. No one can take it from me. The devil, what are his wiles? He's going to try and convince you that you don't have peace with God. Because if he can convince you that you don't have peace with God, then he can send sickness your way. And he can send poverty your way. And he can send emotional distress your way. And then you can't withstand the wiles of the devil. So guys, I can't say this enough, man. I just really can't. Embrace the fact that you have peace with God. And that's what Jesus coming to this earth signified. And that's what his death on the cross paid for. You know, and the root word of shalom is shalem, which means to be paid for, paid in full. Our peace has been paid in full It's been paid for by the blood of Jesus. We are near him. He is not far away. Praise God. Thank you, Father, for your peace. Lord, I just thank you for your peace. I just thank you that on the day that Jesus was born, that it was signifying that peace between you and us was coming. Lord, I just thank you for the prosperity and the health and the emotional wellness that comes out of that peace. Lord, I just ask that you soften the hearts of everybody in this room so that they can get a revelation that they have peace with you and that they can live life out of that peace and that you're trying to pour life into them through that peace. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.